The Association of Classical and Christian Schools presents Repairing the Ruins, the 2014 Annual Conference, copyright 2014. If you have purchased this recording, you are free to make multiple copies for your school's use. You may not sell copies of the audio or post copies on the Internet. Order additional conference recordings from this year's conference or previous conferences at store.accsedu.org. Find out more about the Association of Classical and Christian Schools at www.accsedu.org. Thank you.
Well, good afternoon, friends. Thank you so much for being here. You're not obligated to do so, but feel free to move up closer, those of you in the back. But again, nobody's going to come back and slap you if you don't. So I'd like to find out about you first. How many board members do we have here? If you'd raise your hand, okay? All right, that helps me understand. All right, thank you. And how many heads of school? Wow, there's enough there. We could have a tug of war right here. So it's about half and half there. Well, it's always interesting to me to see who shows up at how to evaluate a school head seminar. I'm glad you're here. Whenever I come to a situation like this, if I'm going to be listening to somebody for 45 minutes, I'd like to know a little bit about who they are. So I'll just mention to you, my name is Phil Graybill. I'm founder of Graybill & Associates, a consulting firm, but I've been in Christian ministry for about 40 years. Started out as the music and youth director at the church, then 3 years teaching in a Christian school, and then 22 years as head of a Christian school. Then the last 13 years, I came to a point about 13 years ago, I said, well, the Lord got tired of me complaining about how friends of mine in ministry were canceling their subscription to Christian ministry because they couldn't get along with their boards. I thought, this ought not to be. Lord, you need to do something about that. And you know how it is when you complain to the Lord about something. So he put that mirror down in front of me and said, yes, someone needs to do something about that. You know, however the voice of God sounds. So for these last 13 years, I've been called of God to help boards of Christian ministries understand and implement a good model of governance. So that's what, I'm not doing this just for the fun of it, though it is. I get to meet some of the greatest people in the world doing it. It is a lot of fun. But I don't know many organizations, if any, that can sustain a model of excellence without an excellent board. So we'll talk today about board governance. The title of this is How to Evaluate the Head of a School. And so I had that introduction to ask you this question. Can you have a competent board and an incompetent head of school at the same time? Okay, let me run that by again. Can you have a competent board and an incompetent head of school at the same time? What's the answer to that? No? What did you say? Not for very long. Because one of them will be proven incompetent before. A competent board will ensure that there is a competent head of school in place and operating in a competent fashion. That sounds so simple to say that out loud, doesn't it? But it can be very complex. What I'm going to encourage you to do is to not get lost in the forest on this, but maintain the simplicity of this, is that people are trusting you board members to see that a competent head of school is in place. That means you have to know what competence looks like. You have to define it. But let's ask God to guide us during this time right now. Father, thank you for this privilege of talking about this important topic ahead of us today, how to evaluate the head of school. Give us wisdom. Enable us to sort through the details and remember the salient points that will keep us on track in these days ahead for the honor of your great name. For it's in that name we pray. Amen. All content demands context. Okay? So you have to shape the context of our discussion today. Let's start by me asking you this question. How do you evaluate your head of school currently? And it doesn't have to be just board members responding to this. Maybe some of you head of school said, well, here's how I'm evaluated. And let me clarify the question, how are you evaluated? I'm not talking about the process, but what are the things that are evaluated? You know, on what basis? You're evaluated according to what? What's the criteria? Not the process, but on what basis are you evaluated? What do they check when they check as to whether you're effective or as a board member? What do you check to know whether they are effective and competent as a head of school? Let me write a few of those things down. If you'd speak loudly, raise your hand. And not what should you do, but what are you doing? Okay. Okay. By the way, I don't ask trick questions, so don't feel like I'm going to pull the rug out from under you on this. I'm just trying to get some idea of what's in your thinking. We'll start from, you know, teaching methods, start from where people are to go to where you want them to go. All right. Yes.
The health of the school, if that's not your general.
Well, we'll take anything. Health of the school. Okay.
Relationship with parents.
Quality of the graduates.
Go ahead, Mike. All right, go ahead.
Financial stewardship.
Okay. And there was.
Implementation of the board policy revision.
What's that?
Implementation of the board policy revision.
That word vision, yeah. Those of you can't see it. Yeah. All right. Yes. Talking about in terms of enrollment.
Right.
Anything else? Yes. Okay, so these are the things that you are evaluating your heads of school on. Okay? Staff management, health of the school, and so forth down here. Let me ask you to determine which of these things that we have up on the sheet now are actually ends, in other words, the results that you're after, and which ones are means, or the methods, the activities, the programs, practices, services, or conditions that you're moving toward. One is the snapshot of the preferred future. Did you get that? And the other is a video clip on how you get there. Okay, so which one of these are ends or results, and which ones are means or processes? So let's try to identify the ends. Well, staff management, what is that? Is that a process or a result? That's a means. Okay, so we're going to... It's a means. The health of the school. And let's... that could go either way, couldn't it? It depends on the health of the school as such. It might be different from the health of the graduate, quality of the graduate. You might have a healthy school that's really... Well, let's call that... let's give that the benefit of the doubt and say that's an end, right? Okay? And meaning that the result of that school is a positive thing. Relationship with parents. Is that ends or means? Means? The quality of graduates. What's that one? That's ends. The financial stewardship. Is that ends or means? That's means. That's very important. But it's something that moves you toward an accomplishment. Implementation of policy and vision. Means. There, you could argue that depending on what particular policy you're talking about, but usually implementation of policy is related to means. The growth and enrollment, how is that ends or means? You could argue that both. Let's go ahead and opt for saying an end there. If it's an end to impact the lives of more students, you have more there. Some would argue that it's a means, but we'll call it an end. You're here. You've benefited that on that. Test scores. Okay, you could say that one of the results we want to have is that our students score at a certain level. So that's an end. Spiritual development. Ends. Okay, so... You are above average. Okay. Of the groups where I ask the same question, the vast majority of them usually give me means, activities, things that are processes, and they evaluate the head of school based on what the head of school is doing as opposed to what the head of school has done in terms of results. Okay? Now, so... Phil, you're saying, Phil, are you telling us that you should do one or the other? No, I'm saying you need to do both, but you ought to know the difference between a process and a result. Why is it important to know the difference between a process and a result? Because what if you do an evaluation that's highly oriented toward simply determining whether the head of school followed certain processes, what are you going to know? That they're a process follower. And you may not have any idea whether you accomplished the vision or not and we're reaching the ends. Whether you have quality output of graduates, a good healthy school, the test scores or what they need to be, or that they're spiritual development. By the way, how are some of you assessing spiritual development in relation to your head of school evaluation? Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you had the wisdom to say, here's what we want, and then you compare what you got to what you said you wanted. Okay, so that's one of the key thoughts here. It says, what do we really want and have a right to expect? Okay, that's you. To begin the evaluation process, you have to say, what do we want and have a right to expect as a board? And as our children were growing up, and the Lord blessed Elaine and me with three children, yeah, I just made it a practice that each night to pray for them as they were going to bed, and I'd go into Jonathan's room, and I think I used this illustration last year for those of you who were in my session, but I'd go into Jonathan's room, and I'd place my hand on his head and say, Lord, help Jonathan to grow up and love you with all his heart and serve you with all his might. And I'd go into Crystal's room. Lord, help Crystal to grow up to love you with all her heart and serve you with all her might. Then I'd go into Alicia's room and then pray the same thing. Lord, help Alicia to grow up to love you with all her heart and serve you with all her might. And that I did that time and time again, and praying for them, because that's what Elaine and I wanted to see in the lives of our children. And it was so rewarding that a few months ago, our son Jonathan, who has two children now, said, Dad, just want you to know I'm passing on the tradition. And so he prays with our children each night. And guess what he prays for? Yep, that's it. Well, I ask you this question. If you placed your hand on the heads of the students in your school, what would you pray for? What do you really want and have a right to expect? That should be part of how you evaluate your head of school. What you measure, you'll get more of. Okay? And if you're measuring simply means, as important as they might be, is it important to have a good relationship with parents and good financial stewardship? Absolutely. I'm not saying means aren't important. But what do you have a school for? Those means are to accomplish an end. You know, whether it be that spiritual development or that accomplishment of certain academic pursuits, whatever that case may be, you have the school to accomplish ends. What you measure, you get more of. And what folks tend to be weak on is measuring the ends. Let me draw another diagram here that I drew last year, but just as a reminder for you. And this is within the context of governing. There's someone who owns the school. And I'm going to suggest that that's God and folks committed to the mission of your school. And the board is there on behalf of God and those committed to the mission of your school to see that the world gets changed, so that there are different ends, so that their results in the lives of people are evident. People's lives are changed. The board does that by saying to the head of school, all right, change the world, reach those ends, and stay within these limits. So if you look at that chart right there, what would be the job of the head of school? It's twofold, right? Reach the ends, stay within the limits. Take this ship called such and such Christian school, sail it down to these ends, and while you're doing it, don't beach the boat. Don't violate these limitations here. So there's ends and there's limits. The board's, the head of school's job is to reach those ends while staying within the limits. And by the way, I teach the system of governance. It has a has four different categories in the policy manual. And in that policy manual, there are ends policies, there are management limitations policies, there's board management linkage policies, and there's governance process policies. And I can give those to you later if you want those more. But the reason I say that is you don't have a basis to evaluate a head of school until you first said what you want. Okay? Yeah. So that is to reach the ends and stay within the limits. So therefore, a board without a a policy manual cannot accomplish an evaluation process with any validity. Now, that's a mouthful there, isn't it? Okay. Well, what's the option? What if you don't have clarity in your policies in relation to your ends or limits? How's the head of school going to be evaluated? Be evaluated based on who happens to show up at the evaluation meeting or who's not there. You know, unless you have a defined criteria, you do not have a basis. So the first job is for the board to do its job, that is to define the ends. What are the results we want to see? What are the limits we want to uphold? And so what's this dotted line here? The dotted line in this trust relationship with the head of school and board is that the board says, we trust you to reach those ends and stay within those limits. And while you're doing that, you can trust us to live within our policies in these two sections of the policy manual on what the board management linkage or relationship looks like and the governance process relationship looks like. So those are some items that I think it's good to keep in mind. You cannot have a healthy school without a healthy board. And I'll just mention this illustration quickly. I was in church several months ago, and it was right before right near the end of the service, and this lady leaned over to me, sitting beside me, and said, "Help me, help me." And she looked fine to me. I didn't know what the problem was. I looked over on the other side, and her husband was leaning over like this, and you know, it happens in church from time to time. But he wasn't moving at all, and I realized that he had fainted dead away and was unconscious at that point. So here I was, right before the communion service, over there trying to discreetly crawl over her to get to this guy, to lift, big fella, to lift him up, to take him out to the vestibule. And I'm a pretty big fella, too. I couldn't. How do you get somebody out of a pew in his dead weight like that? So finally, four of us wrestled this guy out to the lobby, and then, of course, everybody was still concentrating on what the pastor said, right? No, there's one of the guys across the church, all the way across the church, had noticed what was happening. He was a physician, is a physician. He walked around the outside of the vestibule and came over to where we were, and he knelt down in front of this fellow who by this time had woken up a little bit, and he placed one hand on his leg and one hand on his arm and looked intently into his eyes and just was just chatting with him a little bit there. And I said, "Come on." You know, and the deacon was standing there, "Should I call 911? Should I call 911? You know, all of us were friendly, but this doctor just carefully his hand. And then I realized what he was doing. He had his hand on the artery in his leg and his other thumb on his wrist, and he's looking into his pupils and just talking with him. He was doing the analysis of the health of this particular person at that point so he could determine what to do. It's the board's job to know where the health points are in the organization. Put your hands on the right places there. Look into the eyes of the organization. So what does a healthy board look like? And why am I saying this? Because you cannot have a healthy evaluation process unless you have a healthy board. Okay? The healthy board first has to know the difference between governance and management. Okay? A lot of boards think that their job is the same as the administration, except theirs is written in capital letters. Okay? That's not it. The board's job is one thing. The management's job is another thing, knowing the difference. A lot more we could say on that, but you first have to know, you know, what that difference is. The second, you have to define that difference in policy. Okay? Written policy that you have. Okay? Then the third, you have to monitor that policy. You say, "Well, Phil, all these things are about what the board does." I'm trying to emphasize the point. You cannot evaluate a head of school unless the board has first done its job. Okay. Board, know the difference between governance and management. Define your policies. Know how to monitor and set up a schedule for monitoring those policies. And the fourth thing, which is probably as significant as all of them, is Know who you want to see smile. Who are you trying to please? So after Dr. Catalana got done with that church member there, he went to the guy's wife and said, he's going to be okay. She had seen the smile on her face at that point. Well, who do you want to see smile at the end of the day in relation to your Christian school? Because there are a lot of different people coming from different vantage points, and you have to decide who is really our ownership. Otherwise, you could be jerked all over the map by competing preferences on what you want to accomplish there. And that's why you cannot do your job unless you first said what the job is and you know who you want, whose smile you want to see. It's like in 2 Corinthians 5, 8, 2 Corinthians 5, 9, the Apostle Paul says, I make it my goal to please him. Okay? He was very clear about that. So what is your, who are you trying to please as a board? Now, let's move to another section. That is the actual handout that you have in front of you. There are different philosophies on handouts. This one is the thing. Yeah, I realize I'm going on at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. That's nap time for most folks. I put in here a lot of stuff. And if you don't have that handout, there's some in the back there. Carl, would you raise your hand if you don't have one? Okay, Carl, could you see the... So this is worth the price of admission, having this. I'm not going to read every word of this, thankfully, to you right now, but I would encourage you to read every word later. I took some of the best articles on this particular topic and put them together in a handout, knowing that our time would be limited today, but I wanted you to have some of these key thoughts to be able to take with you and read and study at another time. My name and email address is there if you'd like to communicate with me on it. But the first article is entitled A Principled Approach to CEO Evaluation. And I'm saying this here because I had a CEO say to me one time, almost in tears, he said, I just wish the board was half as interested in evaluating itself as they were in evaluating me. Okay? So the board must evaluate itself and know that it's doing the kind of things that we just talked about, having all those health points, you know, clear in its mind on how it's doing its job before it can get to this. So let me just hit a few key points on this. A principled approach to CEO evaluation. First of all, what I called there's the bad news. There is no canned checklist for CEO evaluation. If you came today, you're hoping for some, oh, here's the form. You use this, everything will be fine. Sorry, it doesn't work that way. You have to do the hard work as a board to say what you want and what you don't want in policy. In the second paragraph, the good news is that there are some principles of evaluation that hold true for every Christian school. Then I've listed some of those. Number one, proper CEO evaluation can only be done after the board has done its job. And its job is to see that good things happen and bad things don't. So define what those are. And then secondly, you monitor. The board must monitor the progress of the CEO. Now, don't make this harder than it is. All this is, you simply put on a chart which policy you want to have monitored, how you're going to monitor it, the process you're going to use, the date it's going to be monitored, when that report will be given to the board. Those three things. And you do it for each of the policies related to each of the ends and each of the limits. And by the way, if you don't monitor the policy and find out whether it's being done or not done, why should you have it? Right? Now, this doesn't mean you do it every month. Some policies you will monitor quarterly, some annually, some every 3 years probably. And you have to pick and choose. But again, don't let this overwhelm you. Don't make it more complicated than it is. Board's job is to see that good things happen, bad things don't. You define your policies, what you want, what you don't want, and then you develop a schedule of monitoring reports on whether you got what you wanted or didn't get what you didn't want. Okay? So don't make it complicated. The board then should not try to delegate its job of CEO evaluation to somebody else. The last sentence on that page, certainly there is value in knowing how others feel about the school's outputs, but to send the CEO out to be scrutinized on the roller coaster of public opinion rather than pre-stated board policy is bound to produce confusion, and God's not in that. So the board does the evaluation, gathers information, does the evaluation. You would not believe the number of times I hear heads of school tell me, well, the board's doing its evaluation this year, and the way they're doing it is they're sending a survey out to all the teachers to ask them what they think. And what do the heads of school do at that point? They brush up the resume and get ready for the next job, okay? Yeah. Yeah, and the board is taking the chicken way out. Well, we don't want to evaluate. So let's let the teachers evaluate. So what do you have then if you have a teacher-evaluated school with a head of school that's trying to push the teachers, you know, toward a better accomplishment? And I'm all for teachers. The school is just teachers. But what do you have a board-run school or do you have a teacher-run school? And it gets worse. Sometimes they'll say, well, let's have the parents evaluate. We don't want to evaluate head of school. Let's have the parents do it. Now, is what the teachers think and what the parents think, is that valuable input? By all means. But who does the head of school evaluation? The board. The board says, here's what we want, here's what we don't want, and we then gathers the information as to whether they got what they wanted or what they didn't want. So I saw a hand back there. Yes. That would be a fair statement. Okay? Focus on results. Okay? Otherwise, we will naturally focus on process. The humankind naturally focuses on motion. If I had a tennis ball and I was tossing it up in the air here, where would your eye be? You'd be following the motion. Whereas the board has to discipline itself to say, did we get what we wanted? We wanted certain traits to be evident in the lives of our graduates. Did we get that? And then you go after it. Okay, so let's keep looking here quickly. Then the next article, I'll not read this one. I'll just point out a few things here by Dr. Carver. He's the designer of the policy governance model of leadership that you may have read about, wrote the book Boards That Make a Difference. He says, off limits, what not to do in your CEO evaluation. Number six there says, don't ever, ever, ever evaluate the CEO on criteria that have not been created in writing by the board ahead of time. The way he says it, tongue in cheek, he says, if you hadn't said how it ought to be, then don't ask how it is. Okay? Okay. The next article, and this may be the most practical thing, I'm not sure, you know, in this handout, is the internal monitoring report format. And I would suggest to you that every policy you have of ends and limits can be in this format. What is the school's policy? What is the CEO's interpretation of that policy? In other words, achievement will be demonstrated when? And he says, here's what the operational achievement looks like. And then the data, the evidence as to whether that was accomplished, and then the statement of whether the head of school says, I report compliance, I report non-compliance, or I'm undecided because I don't have any idea what you guys are talking about. This is a very important page right there. Then next is the annual headmaster evaluation. And that is an article that says, it starts out in the second paragraph, allow me to present some underlying assumptions about evaluation. Evaluation should be based on the headmaster's job description. All right, convince me that you've been listening now. Based on this diagram here, what is the headmaster's job description? Yes. To reach the ends within the limits. You may have attended a session earlier today where head of school admitted out loud that he never looked at his job description? Okay. Why is that? Yeah, because the board's not looking at it. I guarantee you, if the board was looking heavily at that job description, he'd be looking at it. Okay. Now I know what he was talking about. From hearing the entire presentation, which was a good presentation, what he's concerned about is reaching those ends and staying within the limits. But these schools have these residual kind of job descriptions, you know, hanging out there that have nothing to do with the ends or very little to do with the ends and means. Scrap those things. Throw them away. What you really want to know as a board is, did we get the results we wanted, and did we stay within the limits that we wanted? That is the job description of the head of school. The head of school has a right to be evaluated based on his true job description, which is that. That's why you evaluate policies accordingly. So, number two, the evaluation then according to policy is based solely on performance. And you see those three and four items there. And I'm going to let you read that article on your own. And then the next page says the headmaster job description. Carries through that topic a little bit more. Now, you can see why I said this. This particular handout is something you're going to need to read later, because we can't cover all this stuff today, but it's things I think you'd really want to know, and I hope you will read it. But these last two things are sort of macro elements that I want to talk about just briefly. Every organization goes through what is described by some as the sigmoid curve, and that's when they start up. There's a lot of energy and capital and funds that go into this, and so it sort of dips down, and then it starts to grow until it eventually gets to the point where it plateaus and then starts to decline. Okay? When should you start to reinvent, rethink, retool that organization? Yeah, about right in here, you should start again. And that S curve, that sigmoid curve, and then starting in right here. And now, to keep the process going, you don't wait until you're about to die as a Christian school to reinvent yourself. You start right here. That means the board has to stay, on this macro sense, the board has to stay in tune with the issues of head of school development and board development. Therefore, these last two pages, the one entitled Board Job Products, number four, this is a suggested policy. The board will take all necessary steps to ensure the ongoing stability of leadership through a well-designed succession planning process for both the CEO and the CGO, which is the Chief Governance Officer or the board chair. In other words, things rise and fall on leadership. So the board, as part of its job, will see to it that we have ongoing stability of the head of school and of the head of the board. Then the last page, if you look at number 11, this would be a limitation. We talked about that policy that I just read was something in the governance process section about what the board would do. Then on this last page, something that would be in management limitations as a policy would be number 11. The headmaster will not operate without a leadership development process updated at least annually and designed not only to protect current leadership stability in key positions, but also to reasonably project and prepare for future leadership needs. So from a macro standpoint, the board needs to say what it wants, what it doesn't want, you know, in those categories, and that's part of the total evaluation. So this is not talking about just an annual evaluation process, but it's talking about how do we look at this thing from a big picture. How do you get the annual evaluation? You sort of do it the same way My wife does. Our anniversary, 38 years, is tomorrow. She said, you know, Phil, what I want to do for our anniversary is I want us to, after dinner, after we go out to dinner, that was the first requirement. Then the second, I want us to go home and look at the photo albums of what's happened since we've been married. And have you ever faced this situation where you had so many pictures around the house you didn't know what to do with it? Well, she has this gift where she took all of her pictures and she put them into one book. And the first one was our first 35 years together. And she said, I want to look at the photo album with you. Okay? And then now she's doing one every year about that. So it's sort of the annual update. You do a head of school evaluation very similarly. You take snapshots throughout the year of what is happening based on the reports tagged to your policy manual. Take those snapshots. At the end of the year, you simply look through the album. No surprises. You already have the snapshots there. And you compile them, maybe have a cover sheet on it, saying, this is, you really look good here. This one, you were a little pudgy, you know. Or you don't make it all up at the end of the year based on what you think on that night, but you take those snapshots, you put the cover picture on the outside, and you have your evaluation of head of school, all based on what you said in writing from the start that you wanted. Okay? That's the head of school evaluation. This is a tough topic to put into 45 minutes, isn't it? But I hope that, you know, given the handout that you can take with you and some of the concepts that you've heard here today, that will help you a little bit in this process. We have a few minutes for questions. Yes, in the back. You have to target what it is that you want out of the school. Most folks will say that it's a combination of what they get at home, what they get at church, and they also say what they get in school. Well, what is the component that you want them to get from the school? Identify that and then find out whether it happened. That's the part you can control. Yes. Okay, and the comment was it needs to be measurable. And I'm going to say something that's going to frustrate some of you. You can measure anything. Okay? You can measure anything. You just have to determine whether you measure it quantitatively or qualitatively. You can assess anything you want. But as John Carver says, a crude measurement of the right thing always beats a precise measurement of the wrong thing. Okay? So go after. Find out what you really want and have a right to expect and figure out some way to assess it, even if it's crude or simple. You have to first determine what is it you really want. And kids do this all the time. You can go to any seventh grader and ask them who the best teacher is, and they'll know in a heartbeat who it is. And they don't do some, you know, clinical evaluation of the teacher. They know. Well, how do you know? Just figure out how do you know whether you're getting what you really wanted? Now, there's a lot more details on how to do that assessment process. But the most important thing is to say what you really want. Other questions or comments? Yes. The question was, should the whole board be involved in this process? And I would say absolutely, because the evaluation process occurs throughout the year. You're receiving reports on the policy manual according to a schedule that you've set up. You know, when you meet, you have this schedule. We want to hear whether these policies are being upheld at this meeting, this next meeting, whether these policies are being upheld, and so forth. And then... And the entire board hears that. Now, You may want to have a subcommittee do the summary evaluation, but it shouldn't be presented to the head of school until it's presented first to the full board, and they agreed that is what our one voice is. That is what we agree as a full board. Okay? I think we're out of time, but I want to say thank you, and let me pray for you before you go. Father, thank you for the privilege of talking about this important topic today. May we be about your business as we look at the results of what's happening in our schools and how to evaluate our head of school and encourage them in the process. May you have your way and guide these dear friends. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
This next session will be small group discussions, and you'll see there's in your program there's multiple groups in each of the two rooms. We've tried to narrow that down for you a little bit, so if you are interested in the board governance small group, it will meet over in room 3 and 4 at the back of that room with Phil Graybill. If you're interested in the marketing and enrollment small group with David Goodwin and Davies Owens, that will be over in room 3 and 4 at the front of the room. If you're interested in the resource development, that was supposed to be Rick Santa. He's not here today, but Harold Naylor and Ralph Cochran are going to stand in for him. That's been reassigned from a room 3 and 4 to room 8, which is if you go out of this room, take a left, room 8's just down the hall. The school culture small group with Tom Garfield and myself will be at the lunch tables right out here in the foyer, right outside these doors. The staff development small group with James Kane and Ralph Janikowski will be at the front of this room. So staff development at the front of this room, and strategic planning with Ralph.